Did you know that Gazette print subscribers have full access to digital content at no extra cost? Activate your digital subscription now to enjoy the latest headlines, sports updates, and more at thegazette.com or through the Gazette mobile app. Read the page-by-page daily newspaper with the Green Gazette, perfect for on-the-go reading. Activate your subscription at thegazette.com/activate or call 319-398-8333.
Hey, good afternoon. Happy Thursday. Welcome to, I guess, what we'll call week 10 edition of the Triple Option Prep Football podcast. I'm Jeff Linder. Next to me are KJ Pilcher, Jeff Johnson. And how are we doing, boys?
Good. Busy.
Yeah.
Busy time of year for us all.
It is. It is.
KJ knows this. We, our boss, J.R. Ogden, sent out a bunch of winter questionnaires, winter sports questionnaires to all the ADs around town. And I responded by thinking I was just responding to J.R., but it went to all the ADs by accident. I said, what? Winter sports already? Hell no.
Yeah. Oops.
I didn't mean it. So,
did anybody take umbrage to that?
No, I don't think so. I apologize to you.
Well, it's not feeling like winter yet, but it's certainly feeling like fall. And here we are. We're in, we'll just call it the round of 16 because it's the second round for the small schools, first round for the big schools. And KJ, we'll talk to you first about the game you covered last week. You were at Albernette, true? Sure.
Yeah. Yep. I was at Albernette for, the first round game, I guess you could call it there for number 8 Albernette versus Crestwood. I know this was a game that I think all of us thought would be a competitive game, and it was. Defense ruled first half, scoreless at halftime between the two teams. Really not much going. Crestwood did get a kind of a – its first drive deep in the Albernette territory, but through an interception on fourth down, which pretty much served as a quasi punt, really, when you think about it. And that was really it in the first half as far as threatening or substantial drives. Crestwood's defense, even though Albernette had really good field position a couple times, starting near midfield, outside of the chains moving once, they didn't give an inch. But the second half, things changed a little bit. Albernette kind of made some adjustments, and Lake and Caves really stepped in or stepped up for Albernette. He broke two touchdown runs, a 36-yarder to put him up 7-0. Crestwood came back and answered, but missed the extra point. And then Caves shortly thereafter with another like a 34-yard touchdown run for the second score of the game. And Albernette really pulled away. Caves had an outstanding game offensively, well over 100 yards rushing. Had two interceptions on defense, and that's one of the things that was kind of interesting. He injured his ankle around week two or so, so they kind of pulled him off the defensive squad to kind of save the stress on his ankle, because obviously you guys see what he does on offense and special teams. And when you have back there, you have a lead, somebody that can center field, and you saw that a couple of times where he made a play on a deep thrown ball and got interceptions. So strong defensive effort by both teams. Cave's a difference maker there in the second half with two touchdown runs and two interceptions. You know, I was impressed with what Crestwood was able to do running the ball, but in the end, you know, it was just Albernett too strong and too tough. But now they've got a battle on their hands at home again with Waukon coming to town, who had a big win over Bellevue. Yeah. So another test for the Pirates.
Yeah. JJ, where what stadium graced your presence Friday night? we won't talk about last Thursday night.
Trojans, yeah. Well, we can if you want to.
Only if you want to.
Trojans Field, I think that's what they call it, Trojan Field. Iowa City West for the regular season finale between West and Linmar. And West secured a playoff spot, very impressive, 42-14 over Linmar. Talking about Linmar first, I guess. Team that really grew as the season went on with first-year coach and Dwayne Orr. Lost the first four games and won the next four to, you know, to be in the playoff conversation. And, you know, that loss Friday night to a really good team shouldn't be anything that, you know, they should hang their heads about. And there's a lot of young players on that team that play skill positions, including quarterbacks. So, you know, Linmar's going to be a team to be reckoned with here next season and maybe the season after that. Then back to West. Guy, I mean, just so dynamic offensively. And they played fast, and they seemed to play even faster against Linmar than normal, if that's even possible. You know, you got to ride that momentum, right? But they can throw it. They can run it. They got playmakers on the outside and Ethan Headings. Reese Wheeler's a really good quarterback. Kristen Janis. Or Campbell Janis, sorry, Kristen was his brother. Campbell Janis runs behind that great offensive line. He had 268 yards, and he only carried it twice in the second half. You know, yeah, 22 carries in the first half, two in the second half. So, you know, they look primed for the playoffs. Is their defense going to be good enough? I think that we probably all agree that that might be the question. And you know, certainly a toughie for West here in the first round, the 8-9 game at Cedar Falls.
Yeah. Yeah, and probably should be one of the best 5A games on the platter Friday, shouldn't it?
For sure. I think so. Just looking at the schedule and, that's got to be a coin flip game, I would think. You know, we'll see, I guess. So, I really like West and, you know, its ability through offensively, and that's just a really, really good offensive football team. And we'll see how that plays here as the weather gets colder here in the playoffs. So, Jeff, you had a playoff game.
I did. I was at Cascade for the Cougars and Union in a really good first round game in Class 1A. Cascade came out on top in that one. 35-27. Just saw a really courageous effort by Mick Hoffman, the quarterback there. Sprained his ankle in, I believe it was the second quarter of that game. Sat out, got retaped and all that. And it was obvious that he was in quite a bit of discomfort out there. But, boy, you know, he passed for 256 yards. And let's see, I think – three touchdowns, and, you know, give his offensive mates a lot of credit for, you know, a lot of yards after the catch and yards after contact and stuff like that. But 14 all game at halftime, Cascade was able to get a little bit of a cushion and held on at the end. So the reward for them is a trip to Regina on Friday night this week. So, like I said, really courageous effort by Mick Hoffman, and a really good effort by the Cougars in that one.
And Union had a good season.
Union had a great season. They were 6-3, and you know, their best season for a little while. I think what was it last year that they came into the playoffs with like two or three wins and knocked and off Waukon or something like that in the first round. Does that sound right?
Yep.
So. We'll just kind of go through the round of 16 pairings. I don't really see any point in looking back at last week at this point, unless there's anything that you guys want to dive in real quick before we talk about this Friday.
How about Cherokee 58, Spirit Lake 57 in overtime?
Just one overtime?
One overtime. Wow. And that was a four against one game. And Cherokee held on. So, yeah, I saw that. I'm sorry. I had to point that one out just because, right?
KJ, anything, any week nine stuff that really caught your eye?
Well, number two, West Hancock losing. And I think JJ said he wasn't too surprised, because Lamarcus Galen is a really good program. You know, that's a tough draw right out of the gate for anybody. But Galen coming in at 3-8 and knocking off West Hancock, which is, kind of a team that is a perennial dome team pretty much. Yeah. That was one that just kind of caught my eye.
Yep. Well, I just said that just because, I think West Hancock had a couple of games or so in the regular season that
were close.
We're close. Yeah.
They've given up a pretty good amount of points, which is uncustomary up in the Britt area. So,
yep.
I'm going to give you 30 seconds to talk about your Thursday night in Stanwood, JJ. which is about 3 seconds for every unsportsmanlike penalty that you saw, right?
Last Thursday night is it's Real Housewives night on the TV at my house. thanks to my lovely wife Nicole. So I decided, well, I'm not gonna watch this stuff, and North Cedar and Loiza Muscatine decided to play a ninth game. Neither team made the playoffs, neither team had won. We're both 0-8, and I said, well, yeah, that sounds perfect. And, the fact that it was the house that Jeff Linder built back in the day, the former Lincoln Stanwood High School. I was all up in it. So, the weather was good. It was a little chilly, but the football was ferocious. And Loiza Muscatine ended up with a win. But North Cedar scored 21 points, which is more than it had all season coming into that game. Scored 14. So, and then we had some both teams played a spirited game, let's put it that way. So we had a number of unsportsmanlike penalties, and unfortunately a young man get kicked out of the game with about 11 seconds to go for arguing an unsportsmanlike call, and he ended up getting another one. So there was that 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think you filled that up. Was there more drama and more chirping on at Stanwood or on Real Housewives?
That's a great question. It might have been 50-50 that night,
yeah,
honestly. But it's a really nice facility, Doug Jackson Field, named after a very famous – I call him famous, right?
Yeah, very good athletic director. Very
absolutely.
Good. Yep.
And it's a nice field. The field is in wonderful, pristine condition for week nine. And Matt Myers is the coach there now, and it was good to see him. He did such a great job, eight player with Central City, and perennial playoff team there. And then went, I think, from Central City to Union as I think an OC. And then decided to go to North Cedar with Tanner Carlson, who's the principal. And they were together at Central City. Tanner or Matt was the AD, and Tanner was the boys basketball coach. So good people out there. Had a good time, and the popcorn might have been the best I've had all season long. It was a three-bag night. So
okay,
thank you for the hospitality, Stanwood.
Yeah, they've got some work to do out there.
Athletically,
so,
yeah.
KJ?
So just to backtrack a little bit, you talked about Real Housewives being on TV, attending a football game in Stanwood. Are we on the verge of maybe a million-dollar idea for a show, Real Football Housewives? Ooh, maybe like a reality show featuring football coaches' wives, I think.
I like that.
We could have a doozy here.
Real Housewives of Stanwood.
I thought, yeah, or Mechanicsville or Clarence.
But I think documenting football housewives would be fantastic.
Yeah. All right. We're going off the rails here, and part of that's my fault. I never should have given JJ that 30 seconds.
Yeah, I went way past 30. Sorry about that.
Let's just go through each pod here. We'll start Class 5A. First round games, Waterloo West at 5-4 is at West Des Moines Dowling. Iowa City West 7-2, Cedar Falls 7-2. Any thoughts on either of those? Or should we just keep on motoring, and then we'll talk about 5A when we're done?
The only thing I would say about West and Cedar Falls is, you know, you try to look at, who may have a better resume or maybe common opponents. But then you look at the last 2 weeks of the regular season where Prairie lost to – or West lost to Prairie and then handled Linmar. Cedar Falls in week 7 beat Prairie – but then turn around week 8, lost to Linmar. So both teams lost to Liberty. So really, you don't have much of an indication of, you know, how that might play out, whether home field might be the advantage. And, you know, West's passing game, which seems to be – you know, much better than Cedar Falls to this point, if that's going to be the difference on the road.
Yeah. West can score a lot, and Cedar Falls doesn't give up much defensively. So, Pod B, Indianola 6-3 at Waukee Northwest, 8-1. Northwest was ranked number one much of the season before getting beat by Waukee in week, I think, 7 or 8. Dallas Center Grimes at Sioux City East, 7-2 versus 8-1. Pod C, Centennial 5-4 at Johnson 7-2, Prairie 6-3 at Valley 7-2. Pod D, the aforementioned Waukee at 4-5 at Liberty 8-1. Southeast Polk 5-4 at Ankeny 7-2. We've talked pods of death and everything like that. KJ, we'll start with you. What do you see in any of these pods that really strikes you? I think Liberty's going to have its hands full with Waukee in round one.
Well, I think that whole pod is up for grabs. I know Southeast Polk, is just 5-4, but we've seen them go on a run where they've had, you know, maybe a so-so regular season, where they've won 4 straight state titles, correct? That's a team that you just can't count out at all. And then you have Ankeny. You saw what Waukee was able to do against Waukee Northwest, and not to mention out of their 5 losses, they were pretty much in every game with a real tough schedule. So none of those games are going to be gimmies between the two on Friday and then the winners facing off in a week from now. So, Liberty's going to have their hands full, and they're going to have to really be balanced on offense with Reese Reddick throwing the ball and then him and Brody Beaver rushing it, and then be pretty stingy on defense as well, because Waukee's very capable.
JJ, any thoughts on 5A?
Yeah, that Liberty-Waukee game I think will be closer than the records of the teams would indicate. And then my question is, can Prairie play against Valley? The talent's there, no question about that. 6-3, probably a little disappointing, I think, for the Hawks, right? That loss to Bettendorf's come back to roost. That was one that came out of the blue. Looking at it, probably not a good loss for Prairie, and probably kept them from maybe having a home game. So, in the first round, so can they go to Valley and compete with Valley and beat Valley? I guess that's my question.
Yeah. We'll go to 4A. Waverly Shell Rock, 4-5, goes to Xavier for a rematch from the regular season. Xavier's just really rolling right now. North Scott, 6-3 at ADM, 8-1. Pod B, we've got Lewis Central, 5-4. Gilbert, 9-0. Fort Dodge and Newton, a pair of 8-1 teams. That was my pick for Pod of Death of the 28 pods.
Yeah, agreed.
Pod C, Lamar's 5-4. Sergeant Bluff, Luton, 8-1. Glenwood, 7-2. North Polk, 7-2. That'll be a good game. Pod D, Davenport North, even though they got beat in week 9, they're in as the 16th team. They're in at 6-3. They'll go to Pella, which is 8-1. Decorah and Western Dubuque, a pair of 7-2 teams. That's also a rematch. We'll start with you this time, JJ. Class 4A. What strikes you there?
Yeah. Good for Davenport North, man. That's a win for public school football, right? In the big cities. And I think I read that their sophomore team went undefeated.
Good.
That's a real good thing, and you know, not going to be easy by any stretch going to Pella for that one. Can Decorah turn around that game against Western Dubuque? I think Western Dubuque won by a couple touchdowns, if I remember correctly. And then the other one, Gilbert, which just took apart North Polk last week for the district title against Lewis Central. That one intrigues me. Apparently Gilbert runs the old flex bone, which is, I think, like the Air Force, the military school offenses, very run heavy.
Would they throw like 45 times this year, something like
that? Yeah, one pass last week against North Polk, and it was incomplete. Yeah. But they ran for like 470 yards or something. Yeah. So, that's unique. Obviously, you don't see that anymore in today's football. So I guess that's just my thoughts. But it's Xavier's to lose, in my opinion.
KJ?
You know – you guys brought up how I think both of you had Pod B as your Pod of Death here in 4A. You know, and no disrespect to Waverly Shell Rock, but, you know, Pod A I don't think is a gimme for Xavier. I know you guys are pretty high on it. North Scott is back to 100%. Majority of their three losses were when they were decimated by, you know, people missing the first half of the season. And then you've got ADM in there that's put together a heck of a year.
Now it's Wink.
You know, that's obviously Xavier dominated Waverly Shell Rock. I got to see that when they played in the regular season. And Cash Parks had a heck of a game. Carter Hoffman as well. And they're two of the straws that stir the drink for Xavier's offense, obviously. And their defense had three turnovers. So, but it's that next game. Xavier facing the winner of North Scott and ADM that I don't think is going to be a gimme and could be really interesting there at Saints Field. And then, you know, I think you could roll the dice on Pod B and you might come out with a different winner every time.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting. I think Eric Pratt was the one that pointed out the last time that Fort Dodge and Newton played each other, it was 71-70. Maybe about 7 years ago, like in 2018 or 2019. I don't think you're going to have 141 points this time around, but you know, both of them are 8-1. That might be kind of the spotlight matchup here to start out. I would normally say Decorah at Western Dubuque, but Western Dubuque handled them at Decorah pretty well in the regular season, and now plays at home against the Vikings. So we'll see if Decorah can cut into that.
Western Dubuque's won 7 in a row.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's go to 3A. Pod A, Mount Vernon probably gets the draw that nobody wanted from any school. They're 6-3. They go to Clear Lake, which The Lions have been dynamite all year, 9-0. They've taken down three of the schools from our area pretty decisively, including West Delaware last week. The other game in that quadrant, Nevada 7-2 goes to Carroll 6-3. Pod B, Benton Community 5-4 at Solon and 9-0. That's a rematch. Independence at Winterset and pair of 6-3 teams. Pod C, Mount Pleasant 7-2 at West Delaware 8-1. Central DeWitt and Dubuque Wallert matchup. That's a rematch. Pair of 7-2 teams. Pod D, Atlantic 6-3 at Heland 7-2 and Des Moines Christian 6-3 at Sioux Center 8-1. KJ, we'll go you first.
Just right off the top in Pod A, you mentioned Mount Vernon getting a draw that nobody wanted. It's kind of interesting. Mount Vernon was our number one team to start the season, and they're heading to Clear Lake, the number one team, at the end of the regular season. So this was a game that, you know, if Jace Jaspers was still playing for Mount Vernon, would be a doozy. But like you said, Clear Lake has run the table, and not only have they done that, they've done it in a dominant fashion pretty much all season. You know, weather might come into play here. You know, will Mount Vernon be able to throw the ball? And I think that's going to be their best opportunity to try to pull an upset, is let Haverback fling the ball around, and hopefully that'll work out with him, because I don't think they have the run game to really pounding ground and against the Lions. You know, and speaking of quarterbacks, Independence with Christopher Meyer heading to Winterset, who has some quality wins, but sometimes you can get a difference maker that can carry a team, and I think he might be somebody that if Independence is going to have success, that's going to go off. And, you know, we'll see how Benton kind of bounces back, after losing to Solon in the regular season, and if they can kind of run the ball well, if they can kind of limit their mistakes and maybe pull the upset there at Spartan Stadium.
Yeah, that's the key, because they made a lot of mistakes when they played last time at Van Horn. And that's really an intriguing matchup to me, because, I mean, you look at 5-4, 9-0, you think, oh, that just screams mismatch. But I'll tell you, with the competition that Solon's played lately, or lack thereof, I mean, their district, I think, let's face it, that's a bad district other than them.
Yeah, and Benton's coming out of the district with Clear Lake, West Delaware, Independence.
Yeah, and, you know, Solon's going to be finally playing against a team that's going to hit back, and we'll see how they respond. Solon's really good, and I'm not certainly not an indictment on them, because they're a fantastic team. I think they're the favorite in that game, but, they're going to have to play well.
JJ, yeah, you guys have passing attack with Eli Campman and Maddox Kelly and Hoopner as well. They've got some really good playmakers on the Solon side.
Yeah. JJ, any thoughts on 3A?
Yeah. Now, excuse my ignorance. I should know this. Pod A plays Pod B in the semifinals?
They reshuffle the deck on RPI after they get to the dome. So probably Pod A would probably play Pod D unless there's an upset, and B and C would play each other.
Okay, because I'm just looking at this as we have two undefeated teams in Clear Lake and Solon, and they could theoretically, I suppose, play in the semifinals, which would not be, in my opinion, what should happen. Yeah. But exactly, I mean, that's a long way off. Let's just play football, and then we'll figure it out. So,
yeah, I think Pod A is the pod that has the number one overall seed. Pod B has the number two, and so forth. So,
gotcha.
If no upsets, then A would play D, and B would play C in the dome.
Okay.
So, let's go to 2A. Pod A We've got OABCIG at 6-3 against Carroll Kemper, 9-0. I think that'll be interesting because we all thought at the beginning of the season that OABCIG was going to be really, really good. Unity Christian, a pretty dangerous team that's got a couple real quality wins under its belt at 4-5. They go to Cherokee, 7-2. Pod B, Pella Christian, 3-6 at PCM, 8-1. Wilton and West Branch, a pair of River Valley teams at 7-2. Pod C, we've got Mediapolis, 5-4, Mid Prairie, 8-1, and Van Meter, Rowan Story, a pair of 7-2 teams. Pod D, we've got Hampton, Dumont, Cal at 5-4 at Osage, 9-0. Waukon, 6-3 at Albernette, 7-2. We'll go you first this time, JJ.
Carroll Kemper is a prohibitive favorite. They've smashed everybody. I don't think even any close games. And you look at this, Osage is undefeated, but it's won, I think, at least a couple, maybe a handful of close games. Nice to see Waukon up there, right? Back up there after a couple of subpar seasons. That'll be an interesting game, as KJ mentioned earlier, against Albernette. So,
KJ.
Yeah, I think that round of 16 game at Albernette could be a good one. One of Albernette's two losses came to Bellevue, who Waukon just beat in the first round. So, that should be a pretty good matchup for a Waukon team that's playing pretty well. One of the teams that I think is kind of getting overlooked at the moment is Vader. That's a team that's been good year in and year out here for the last decade, pretty much. And they're in a very winnable pod. You've got Mediapolis and Mid Prairie on the other side, and yeah, Rowan Story's a solid team, but that's a winnable game for Van Meter, even though they're on the road. And that's a team to kind of watch out for, and possibly could make it to the dome. And then of course, Wilton West Branch, you kind of mentioned that, I don't think Wilton's quite the same team from a year ago, but they're extremely well coached. West Branch has certainly bounced back. Believe this is a rematch of maybe a first round game last year, that Wilton won. So they're going to be hyped up at the little Rose Bowl, looking to get a little revenge there. And I think West Branch is playing pretty well. But then there are tougher things down the road with PCM, pretty much waiting.
I've got my eyes on Cherokee. I have all year. They were my number one to start the year. They very well could get beat by Unity this week, but if they do win, I think they might have about as good a chance as anybody is knocking off Kemper. I don't know why I think that way. They did play 44-28 in week one, but I just think that's a team to look out for, and I guess I really don't know why.
Well, they run the ball so well. Yeah. I know we're in an age where offenses are more dynamic, and you have these great athletes that you can do a lot of things throwing the ball. But for some reason, it just seems like a strong rush game is still a good formula for success, especially in the postseason. And they've rushed for over 2,600 yards or something this season. So it's really – I could see your point with Cherokee that – in the postseason, if they are clicking on all cylinders in the run game, they can knock off anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to 1A. Two or three really, really, really good teams in this class. Lawton Bronson, 5-4. They go to West Lyon, which is one of those teams. They're 9-0 on a two-season win streak. Underwood, 7-2. West Marshall, 7-2. Pod B, Clarion Goldfield Dow is 6-3, goes to Grundy Center, which has the long, long winning streak at 9-0. Sigourney Keogh to 5-4, Beckman to 8-1. Pod C, we got Cascade 7-2 at Regina 9-0, Pleasantville 8-1 at Hudson 5-4, which is kind of strange. Pod D, Ridgeview 6-3 at South Hardin 8-1 and Hinton 6-3 at Trainer 8-1. And KJ, you go first.
This is a three team class.
Yep.
It drops off drastically after Grundy, West Lyon, and Regina. I'm not sure if the playoffs really start until you get to the dome. The one thing I'd say is I really wish there was a way Beckman could have been in that D pod somehow, just because I'd like to see their prospects against somebody outside of those top three teams because of the season they put together. But right now, I think you can kind of write in pen those three teams kind of moving on and then just waiting to see who's going to join them. Whether it's South Hardin Trainer or somebody else, there in Pot D.
JJ.
Yeah, just simply, there's going to be one hell of a semifinal. If things go to chalk here, and those three teams win, a hell of a semifinal. So I guess that's about it. That's my thought.
Yeah, everybody's been talking West Lyon and Grundy Center because they're defending champs in 2A and 1A, and boy, Regina's put together a really, really solid season too, as they usually do. So let's go to Class A. Lamar's Galen 4-5. They pulled off that big upset last week at West Hancock. Their reward, they get another undefeated team at MMCRU 9-0. Madrid 6-3 at Woodbury Central 9-0. Pod B, we got West Fork 7-2 at St. Ansgar 9-0. North Lynn 8-1 gets to go down to Packwood to play Pekin at 9-0. Pod C, we got Mount Air 6-3 at ACGC 9-0. Sibley Ocheden 5-4 at West Sioux 8-1. And in Pod D, we've got Coconut Valley 7-2 at Wapsie 9-0. And that's a rematch from a district game. And BGM 7-2 at Livingdale Sully 8-1. So, JJ, you're up first.
Look out for Coconut Valley. And I know that's a very, very tough task against Wapsie. It's a great football team. The Wall Kid is back. And he's playing quarterback again. He played last week in the first round of playoffs. And that brings a whole new dynamic, I think, to them. So that is going to be, to me, a very, very interesting game. And then, you look at the rest of it. MMCRU's been great. St. Ansgar's been great. ACGC's been great. I think North Lincoln can go down and beat Pekin.
I do too.
My opinion. And how weird is, and I know why they did it, but man, if Pekin and St. Ansgar play, my God, that's a haul, right? That's a long way away geographically.
Yeah.
They could have flipped it, I suppose, but Wapsie Valley won the district, so, should get what it got pod wise, I guess. So just some rambling thoughts.
How about you, KJ?
Just to piggyback on what JJ said about Maquoketa Valley and Wapsie, Wall comes back and goes for 132 yards of offense and a couple touchdowns and a blowout of Danville. Remember, I know like Mount Vernon, Coconut was our number one team to start the year.
Yeah.
Injuries kind of led to a couple losses, and that's why they kind of plummeted out. So that's not a prototypical unranked 7-2 team that Wapsie's hosting. That's going to be – I'm not saying Maquoketa Valley's going to win. They can win. Yep. And it's going to be a highly competitive game, in my opinion. BGM on the other side of that pod yeah, they lost to Linville Sully in the regular season. I think it was 41-20, but you've got Bo Burns, who's put up some crazy numbers. And if he has a night where he gets free and is able to make some huge plays, which he's shown an 8-player and 11-man football he can do, that might be a real interesting result at the end of the night. And then Northland Pekin, that's a number 10 Northland at number 7 Pekin. Pekin's 9-0, Northland's 8-1, but I think their strength of schedule is drastically different. That's a game that Northland can go down there. You know, you've got Sommerfeld and some other playmakers there that I really think that's a win or a game that Northland can go and win. And I'm just kind of looking at the strength of schedule. Unbound, Pekin is at 326. And they're ranked 54th in all classes. Mm-hmm. Northland 20 and at 156. So yeah. I think that kind of highlights the point that that's a winnable game for Northland.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback on you. I know you guys aren't the connoisseurs of BC Moore that I am, but BC Moore's got they've got Pekin as the 55th best schedule in Class A, and there's 56 teams in that class. So
I
think Northland's the favorite in that game as well. So let's close up with, and we'll talk a little 8-player. North Union 5-3 at Garrigan 9-0, Clarksville 7-2, Don Bosco 6-2. That could be a pretty good game. Southeast Warren 7-2 at Woodbine 8-0. Fremont Mills 7-2 at Bedford 8-1. That could be a goodie. Easton Valley 8-1 at Gladbrook Rhinebeck 9-0. Turkey Valley at 6-3, which really surprised me with what they did to Springville last week. They go to Edco at 9-0. Janesville 6-4 at Iowa Valley 9-0. Montezuma 7-2 at Audubon 9-0. And KJ, you're up.
Not too much really stands out to me in this first this round of 16. It's just really interesting the grouping that you have in Pod D, where you have Janesville and Iowa Valley in the first round, but then you have Montezuma and Audubon, and then you have the winner of Janesville and Iowa Valley and Marengo possibly going to Audubon, which I know what the drive's like from Cedar Rapids, and that's about 3.5 hours to Audubon. So imagine that on a bus is probably going to be a good 3:45 if it's Iowa Valley to Audubon from Marengo. Not sure how that changes if it's Janesville, but
it'd be a lot further.
That's just kind of an odd grouping. And, you know, if I have to highlight something, Nolan Kriegel, that's a kid that's had another phenomenal season, and we've talked about playmakers that can carry teams. He's certainly a guy that really could propel Iowa Valley to the Unidome if he's hot. And he's kind of weird to say, but I think he kind of flies under the radar just because of 8-player a little bit.
Yeah. He's only a junior, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. JJ, thoughts on 8-player?
Yeah. Speaking of Iowa Valley, as soon as we get done with our podcast here, I'm going to write that story up. Talk to Coach Coral and Kriegel, and planning on talking to another kid on the team a little bit here as well. So they thought it was almost 25 years since they've been to the Dome, Iowa Valley. So, and this is a team that only has 3 seniors. So they'll be right back in this position, if not better, next season. And Kriegel is a 6'3", 190-pound athlete who has had game visits for Iowa State, Northern Illinois. So he potentially could be a D1 kid, and they just had one. in Caleb Hack, who's playing tight end at Northern Illinois. It was a freshman who's redshirting this season, but you know, so that's an under the radar kind of program, I guess, a little bit, especially because, you know, eight player. But Iowa Valley's really got it going, and we'll see. maybe would that game for sure be in Iowa or would be at Ottoman? I guess I don't really know how what the next tiebreaker
would be. I think it would.
Okay.
No, I think that'd be at Iowa Valley.
Would it?
Yeah, they're the – I think
there's a ranking there. Do the rankings come into play there with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they do.
And they're ahead of Ottoman.
It looks that way by the way they are in the bracket.
Okay.
So my guess is Ottoman's the four overall seed and Ottoman five, although I'd have to look as far as how the association's got that. So yeah, Ottoman gets to come to Iowa Valley probably. But first things first, they both have a couple of pretty challenging second round games. So
JJ, just to answer what you kind of mentioned with the Unidome, looks like in 2000, Iowa Valley made the 1A semifinals and lost to Applington Parkersburg.
Wow. Okay.
There, that appears to be the last time.
Very good. Thank you.
They made it in. So.
1A, man, not even A. In 25 years later, they're an A player program.
I remember about that time. They had a couple really good games with West Branch.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that would have been A. I'm sorry, 1A. So where are you guys going to be this week? I've kind of got a bye week. I'm going to be in Fort Dodge for state cross country. Where are you going to be Friday?
Go ahead, Pilch.
I will be at Iowa City Regina for the Cascade Regina game. We'll see if two really good quarterbacks down there, right? With Mick Hoffman and Kyle Tracy. You've got Miller and Wallace on the Regina side as well. That, you know, could be really tough coverages for Cascade. And then you've got, you know, Cascade's got a really underappreciated or maybe underrated receiving core.
Yes.
They've got some outstanding receivers, which is why Hoffman's been so successful, or part of the reason why. So that's going to put some pressure on Regina as well. So the over-under on passes thrown, maybe 65, you think?
Could be.
Might get out of there about 11:30. We'll see.
Yeah. Just looking, Cascade had last week, the Mononaut kid had six receptions, Brody Otting five, Eli Fritz had four. So they do have a variety of places they can go with the ball. JJ, where are you going to be Friday?
I'm not going quite as far to Iowa City. I'm going to North Liberty. Well, I guess they technically still call that Iowa City, right?
Iowa City School District, at least.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Liberty and Waukee, and really interested. Actually, this is the second time I've seen Waukee. Now that I think of it. Saw him earlier in the year against Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Have the tight end. I think it's Casey. No. It's Jacobson kid that's going to Texas A&M as a tight end. Okay. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Jeff travel safe to Fort Dodge.
Yeah, do you guys? I didn't write it down this week. Do you know where everybody else is going?
I'm kind of scrolling through here and looking at.
I'm sure, somebody's going to Xavier.
Yeah, and I think somebody's going to Albernat. This week, I think that sounds right. I think we got four out there, and then we have correspondence at other games, of course. No, yeah. I think someone's going to Solon. Benton Solon. Yeah. So I don't know. What's today?
Liberty, give us the Liberty cheer.
Liberty, 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 Liberty. I'll be hearing that Friday.
Enjoy
night.
That with each first down.
So which is more annoying, the Liberty, Liberty, Liberty thing or the Limu Emu, which is also that same thing?
Don't diss the emu, Jeff. Come on.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So just to clarify as well, Plaguekule, Ryan Plaguekule will be at Waverly Shell Rock Xavier for that rematch. And then Doug Miles will be covering the Benton Community Solon game. We'll have other helpers at Iowa City West, Cedar Falls, Decorah Western Dubuque, Mount Pleasant, West Delaware, Indy Winterset, Jason Miller helping us with Wilton and West Branch as well. So that's what we have lined up for coverage this week.
All right. Sounds good. Any last thoughts?
Let's football and let's cross country.
Yeah.
How's that? And then next week, let's volleyball.
What's that,
bundle
KJ?
Up. Bundle yeah. up.
Yeah.
I was underprepared last week for the chill. I did not dress appropriately, so I won't make that mistake twice.
All right. Well, you guys will be doing this as a duo next week. I'll be in at the Extreme Arena down in Coralville. So we'll see you, the rest of you, when I see you here in a couple weeks. Otherwise, you got KJ and JJ next week. And thanks for joining us. And KJ, take us home.
All right. Round of 16 playoffs this week. When you're out at the games, make sure you keep your head on a swivel.